We continue to look at this series, Connecting with God and Others. And if you remember, and maybe this is your first time that you're getting involved in this series, we've started this series looking at what it really means to understand and begin to try to understand God. And we actually took it from the Ten Commandments. And if you remember and you were here, you saw that the first four commandments were kind of centered in on our relationship with God, and the other six commandments are relational with each other. So if we don't get the first four right with God, we're definitely not going to get the last six right with our relations with each other. And if you remember last week, we began and we looked at the church and our relationship with each other as the body of Christ and how, what that looks like. And this morning I want to look at reconciliation. Our reconciliation with God, our continuing to look at how we have this relationship with God and how that affects each and every one of us in some way or another. Now, as soon as you talk about reconciliation, I know that for some you just focus in and you can see that you know there's this person that you have a hard time forgiving. There's this situation that may have happened between you and God, and you just can't get a handle on that because you don't understand why God operated in that. But this morning I want to tell you that if you're really going to enhance your relationship with God, you need to reconcile with God. If you're really going to live a life of freedom in the sense that you're not in bondage every day, because we really know that when you don't forgive someone, that they're okay, but it's usually you that suffers. You're the one that can't get past some of the relationship. They go on and they sometimes even forget what was going on, but you struggle. So if you're really going to have that life that God tells us to that's victorious and free, then you got to reconcile with others in the sense that you've got to forgive them. You don't have to forget, and you don't have to necessarily put yourself back into a harmful situation or a bad situation, but you do have to get past that you don't harbor this unforgiveness that it hinders your walk with God. So you should be there by now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 11 to 15. This is Paul speaking to the church and to believers. He begins in verse 11 by saying this: "Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. It is if we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live shall no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." Paul is speaking, like I said, to believers. Paul is stating the importance of the Holy Spirit working in our life. I know we talk about it all the time, but until we really get to the point where we're going to allow God to do far more than we can do in ourselves, until we allow God to have the Holy Spirit begin to work in our lives, to begin to change us and to begin to lead us and guide us, he's telling us that until we really get into the realm of faith where we're depending on God, where we're trusting God to do things that we're not able to do, and he's telling us that as long as we're in this fleshly body, as long as we're on this earth, we're going to have challenges. So you know that all the times that I tell you that if you're a new Christian or you've been a Christian 30 years, it doesn't take long to figure out that we're going to have challenges, that life isn't rosy, that becoming a Christian isn't just this gateway that everything becomes no problem, that God answers all the prayers and just makes everything the way we want it. Just copacetic. It doesn't happen that way. We know, and Paul tells us, that there's going to be challenges. Then he swings into the text this morning, and he tells us that we have to reconcile our differences with God. And for some this morning, they say, ouch. And then he goes on and say that you got to reconcile your differences with others. And then again, you go, ouch. But until we get these two things right, until you begin to see that you can't really operate on the factor that that you can harbor these unforgiveness, that you can harbor these ill feelings. You know, Paul is just telling us in verse 4 that Christ's love compels us. If you know Christ and you really acknowledge what God has done in your life, Christ's love compels us to love others, compels us and draws us to Christ Himself. He says, hey, if I'm crazy, you know, if I'm sold out for Jesus, it's because of what God did in my life. And then he goes on to say, hey, if I'm in my right mind, well, that's because I want to build a relationship with you, and I want you to know that this is how you can tell others what Christ has done for your life. So, you know, if you really believe what Christ has done, it will compel you. It will draw you into a relationship that's so much that you're going to be able to tell others. And we see that. We see what God is doing. And it also will tell us that we have to live a way that's pleasing to God. See, the more I read the Bible, It tells me from Genesis to Revelation that God is crazy about us. And you've heard me say that before. God is crazy about us. And from front to back of the Bible, God is trying to reconcile with mankind. That's His words to us, that He's trying to reconcile. And I want you to ask this question. What is the goal of the Christian life? What are we to become? How does that play out? What does that look like? And the only answer that you can say is it's simply this, that each and every day, each and every one of us should conform to the image of Christ. Do we get there? No. Do we strive to get there? Yes. Do we need God's help to get even close? Yes. But each day we should be conforming to the image of Christ, doing the things that God's told us to do, being mindful of the things that God's working in our life, because really that's what it's all about. He's telling us to become Christ-like. That's what it means to become Christian. And if you remember last week in talking about the church, we said, you know, you're not born a Christian. No matter how much people want to say it, you're not born a Christian. You become a Christian. You weren't adopted into being a Christian by who your family was and what position you have in the community. And you know, it's about being a Christ follower. It's about being determined in our decisions that we make for Christ and following the ways of the Lord. Reconcile, by definition, according to Webster, says this: to restore to friendship or harmony, to restore your differences, and to submit to a cause of harmony. And reconciliation, when the Lord is talking about reconciliation, that's the action to do those things. So you can, you know, reconcile means to restore a friendship, to come back and submit to a cause, and reconciliation is the action to actually go and do it. And there has to be this determined action to bring harmony back to a relationship. Anybody ever been in a one-sided trying to bring harmony relationship? Doesn't work very well, does it? It takes both sides trying to come back and bring harmony back to an example. I'll give you an example. In the Catholic Church, the Catholic Church believes that reconciliation between God and man takes place in a confession box, meaning that the priest is on one side, the sinner is on the other side. The sinner brings the sin to the priest. The sinner shares his sin, and the priest forgives, and the sin forgives the sin, and then restoration begins. But as a Christian, we believe that reconciliation between God and man happens in a different way. That Jesus Christ is the bridge that brings us between our differences between God the Father and man. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men." That when we understand the love of Christ, and when we understand the debt that Christ has paid for us, verse 14 says, that's what compels us to love God. That's what draws us close to God, because we are convinced that He died for all, and that therefore, because we've all been regenerated in our decision for Christ, that we should no longer live for ourselves, but for Him. And then it goes on to tell us, if we really believe that, if we really believe what Christ has done, and we really believe that Christ is the bridge that reconciled the differences, then that Bible, our Bible tells us that Jesus expects us to go out and do likewise. That we're to restore relationships, that we're to reconcile with those that are tough to get along with. I picture it like this. Picture Christ standing by a ditch, and he's reaching out his hand, and the only way that you could get across that ditch is to take hold of his hand. And that would be the only way of reconciliation that we can live it out in our life with Christ, is that we extend our hand out. The Bible tells us, forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. See, we want to say, Lord, forgive us, but we don't necessarily want to grab onto the part that says, and forgive those that trespass against us. Not easy to do. In fact, nearly impossible, I would say, without the help of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Because I am such a Packer fan, let me give you an example from Vince Lombardi this morning. Vince Lombardi was in a practice and he's working with the linemen. And he turns to one of them and he says this. He says, you are a lousy football player. You cannot block and you are not giving me 100%. In fact, you are done for the day. Hit the showers. 45 minutes later, Vince Lombardi walks into the shower room and sees the player sitting still in his uniform and weeping on the bench. And Vince Lombardi walks up to him and says to him, what I said to you is the truth. You are not a good football player. You are unable to block and you have not given me 100%. But I am telling you today that I'm going to work with you. That you become the player that I know is inside of you. And that day, Jerry Kramer understood what it meant to play for Vince Lombardi. Jerry Kramer went on to be a Hall of Fame player as well as a Hall of Fame Packer and became what they consider now one of the best guards ever to play the game of football. And we understand this. You know, we look at this and we say, okay, great. Vince Lombardi had the ability to tell the truth, though sometimes that it was painful and we may not want to hear that. But he also had the ability to see into a person's life that they could become what they didn't even know in themselves. And I want to say this morning that God has so much more ability. So much more ability to go in and see what's inside of each of us and desires to bridge that gap, desires to show His love for each and every one of us, desires by His power to transform us and change our lives and change our thoughts. See, transformation is a change. And for a lot of us Christians, we've been to Christians so long we forgot what we used to be like. But transformation is a change. We're not what we used to be. And we're not where God is finished with us. So we still got to give Him the ability to go and do what is still needing to be done. And become what He wants us to become. See, we're really good at external changes. You can put on a clean shirt. You can put on a nice tie today. You can make all kinds of changes that are going on. But basically, anything external is a lot easier to change than coming inside and allowing God to change. We can't change ourselves on the inside. We can make good attempts. We can do a lot of things. But when it comes to full-fledged change, changing of heart, changing of attitude, changing of the ways that we used to have and do, God has to do that. John 10:10 says, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Some Bible versions say, have it to the full. And I'm saying that for some today, you have not been able to live to the full because you haven't surrendered it. You haven't found out what that abundant life is and all the things that God wants is because you haven't come to that point. And really, the more I read the Bible, you're not really living until you come to Christ. Amen. You're really not living because you're just existing. Until He makes that transformation. Until He makes that change in your life. So I say this morning. Go ahead. Change the outside. Go get a different haircut. Even get a wild haircut that stands straight up. It doesn't matter. Go ahead and change the things on the outside. But until you're really going to get the abundant life that God wants in your life, He's got to do it from the inside. He's got to make that change from the inside. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. Let me finish up this portion of Scripture with you this morning. It says, "From now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against Him. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." Once we get it, once we really grab onto this, we can begin to have a ministry of reconciliation because we really become one of Christ's ambassadors. Verse 20 says this, "As though God were making His appeal through us." You don't think that you're making an impact to somebody in your workplace or in school or in your community? Christ says, if you really get it and you become an ambassador, it's as though I'm appealing to them through you. And that I'm working through you. See, the problem with most people is not facing the truth. Get this morning. The problem with most people is not facing the truth. The problem with most is let me say that again. I got it back. God's all wrapped up. The problem with most people is not finding the truth. Let me say that. I had to find it for a minute. The problem with most people is not finding the truth. The problem with most is facing it. See, that's the problem that goes on. So, you know, what can we learn from this portion of Scripture? I believe there's three things that we can grab on. Number one is this. God desires to reconcile with you and I. He desires and has gone out of His way and has done everything He can to reconcile with us. And the second thing, God desires for us to become new creations in Christ. That you're not going to live the old way. That you can have that abundant life. That you can have that life to the full. And then He tells us that God desires for us to be Christ's ambassadors. So let's very quickly look at these three things. God's desire, number one, to reconcile with you and I. Now, some of you are sitting here this morning, I know, I can read minds. I got it, Pastor. I got it. I get it. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. I get it. I get it. But do you really get it? Do you understand, too, how much God really loves you? Not, you know, it's easy to say, oh, God loves the world. God loves this church. God loves this community. But do you really grab on this morning? God loves you. Do you really grab on to that this morning? That Christ cares about you. That you're important to Him. Then you say, I get it. God knows everything about you and He loves you anyways. Isn't that good stuff? He knows everything about you and He still loves you. Romans 5:6 says this, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Ephesians 2:13 says, but now in Christ, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Verse 2:19, paraphrase, tells us that we're no longer foreigners. We're no longer aliens, but we're fellow citizens and members of God's household. That ought to get an amen or not. See, it's really more than Jim Carrey playing Bruce Almighty. And it's really more than George Burns running and playing this liberated God. But we serve a God that really is pleading with us and actually begging us to accept His gift of salvation that we could be reconciled back to Him. See, Christ's love motivates me and it should motivate you. In that same compelling where God draws us close, it should be reciprocated. It should be us motivated to love God back. Second thing, God desires for us to be this new creation. See, I don't buy sometimes people that say they follow the Lord. And they have this relationship with the Lord. Because a funny thing happens when you get saved. You're not the same anymore. You're not the same anymore. There is this change that takes place. And I could go all into that scientific metamorphosis of the caterpillar and the butterfly, but I won't. But that is the same kind of change that God says happens in us. It's transformational. It should be noticeable, and it should never make us the same. Are we perfect? No. But God in His transformation should make us constantly want to journey together. I've often said this. We're all at different parts of a journey, but we all should be heading in the right direction. We all should be looking to Jesus and seeing what He has for us. And the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And I'll go as far to say this. The power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives that shouldn't take a back seat. Now listen to me. Shouldn't take a back seat to anything that's hindering you this morning. Did you get that?
Right.
That we trust God enough to make these changes, and that whatever you're facing, whatever is in your road today, the Holy Spirit should not be put on the back burner because he's like he can't minister to whatever it is because he can. And this morning I can say this to you. The failure of your past, gone. The failure to and inability to please God should be gone. And this inner fight that we have of fighting against God should be gone. And our breakdown of our relationship between God and us should be gone. Because God desires to break those barriers down. Will we struggle? Yes, but God wants to take control of them. God wants to take control of those issues where we're constantly fighting whether who's going to be in control. God says, if you'll submit, peace. God, these things will be gone. But you've got to come to that point. Failure of the past. Every time it comes up, you may have to do it 1,000 times a day. But God says, when it brings up, it's behind you. God says it's behind you. If He don't remember it, you stop remembering. And allow God to do these things in your life. And everybody ought to say, praise the Lord. And the third thing is this. God desires us to be Christ ambassadors. Verse 20 says, we are therefore Christ ambassadors, as though God were making this appeal through us. Here's the thing. God pulls us by prevenient grace. We talk about it. God pulls us by prevenient grace into a relationship with Him. He reconciles us and then compels us to go and tell others what He's done for us. Because the whole definition of an ambassador is this. It represents you hold citizenship in one country and represents the interest of his or her country in a foreign land. That's what an ambassador is. Let me say that again. Representative who holds citizenship in one country and represents the interests of his or her country in a foreign land. As Christ's ambassador, we are called to bring people back to God and back to each other. See, there's a reason that people are far from God. And you can think of 1,000 different reasons, but there's a reason for it. And some may feel like they've been abandoned and God has let them down. Some may feel like they're not good enough. And some may be embarrassed to come back to God. All of these things are legitimate reasons. But God says, if you will make the first step, if you will, because I've already given you the power while you were yet powerless in your sin. That's what Romans tells us. While you were in that state, I've taken care of it. All you have to do is come back. And He will begin to take care of these things that are going on in your life. And I'm getting ready to close here. God compels us, each and every one of us that calls on the name of Christ as our Lord and Savior, He compels us to go that extra mile. And if you be honest this morning, some of us are sitting here this morning because someone wouldn't give up on us. Someone would not give up on us. Somebody was praying for us. Somebody, even in the fact that we in time we can look back, we've We've called names. We were tough. We were agitated that they, but they wouldn't give up. And that's what Christ tells us, that he compels us to go to the extra mile and not give up on people. And I'll say this, God has a word for each and every one of us this morning. Let me say this, if things aren't right between you and Jesus this morning, you have an opportunity to make it right. He has made the first move. Don't wait for God to make the first move. You make this move. This morning you can make it right. If that's you this morning, then you need to acknowledge that before the Lord before you leave this morning. And maybe for some you're sitting here and you just gotta be honest. I know Jesus. But this old person that you keep talking about, this old nature just keeps coming back. This morning God wants to take that. Surrender that. Surrender that to him this morning. And you know, just say, I don't know that I feel like a new creation, but according to God's word, he says that I could be a new creation. And this morning I'm going to accept that by faith. And maybe you're sitting here this morning. Maybe, you know, this is either a duel or a try. Message at the end here that you know, maybe you're sitting here and your prayer is, God, give me the opportunity to speak to others. I want to pray for you also, because we're seeing God do amazing things, and I'm excited for what God wants to do. That would be being a Christ ambassador right where you're at right now. I've been reading a book. It's called You Lost Me, and it basically talks about young people and why they don't follow through in church, and why it seems like at the point that right after youth group and they get out of high school that they fall away from church. And then what's amazing about this book is it's actually taken information from people that age group. And then the thought, one person said that the church is going down because this whole next generation isn't serving God. Well, I serve a God that's bigger than that. And I'm telling you, God says he's going to build his church and the gates of hell aren't going to prevail. Which means that a generation is not going down the tubes. God will resurrect some remnants that will bring it up. And that to me is exciting. That to me is saying that we've got to get this right. Whether we have to change some of the things or not. We don't change the message of Christ, but we may change the way we present it. We may have to change some of these things that are not pleasing to the younger generation if we're going to reach them, but we got to bring them this message. It's saying that if we're really going to be the church universal, that you know, we can't even buy into the fact that the whole generation is going down the tubes. I can't believe that God can't reconcile somebody. I can't believe that God would give up on a whole generation. I believe that he would raise up people that are able to do it. I can't believe that God can't reconcile a person. I can't believe that God can't reconcile a church. I can't believe that God can't reconcile a city. I can't believe that God can't reconcile a nation or a state or anything else if we will turn it over to him and allow him to do it. God will change culture. God can change lives. You've heard me many times share this illustration of the starfish, and that's where I'll close today. And you know, when the whole beach is full of starfish and one person's throwing it, and you could be overwhelmed in the fact that you see so many starfish, and then you realize God didn't call you to every starfish. He didn't call you to try to reach every starfish. God called you to reach the ones that you're coming in contact, and you do. Each one that you pick up and you throw back in the ocean, you made a difference to that person. Oh yeah, it looks overwhelming, but you made a difference to the one that you threw it back. And what kind of church would we be if church people were all on the shore, able to throw back a few starfish back into the water? We would make a difference. God is saying that, first of all, you got to reconcile with God. And I realized in congregation this side, I realize that some struggle. But you've got to reconcile with God. Get alone with God, and even if in your anger, you got to call out and let Him know what's going on in your heart. Do that. But you've got to reconcile with God. And for some this morning, you know, God is saying, you know, it's time to get busy. It's time to make a difference. It's time to get out of that comfort zone and really make a difference. He's saying, because if the church would keep moving and throwing the starfish back in the water, we're going to see results. And we are, and I'm thankful for that. Would you bow your head with me? Here's the thing I want to do as we close. I'm just going to ask you to just take a moment where you're at. I'm not sure where you're at. This is between you and the Lord. You got some issues that you need to reconcile with God this morning. God's saying, I want to take care of that. I want this moment to be holy. I want this moment to be the moment that you surrender those things to me. Would you do that right where you're at? Would you be honest with God and say, I'm struggling in this, and give it to Him this morning? And allow Him by His Holy Spirit to just give you freedom this morning. You're in a relationship that you're struggling with somebody, whether in your family or working. Would you give Him that this morning and allow Him a chance to work on that behalf? See, God, you can't change other people's hearts and lives. That's God. God does that. But this morning, if you'll surrender your hardness and your feelings, God can work on you because you're open. You're wanting Him to. Would you do that this morning? And then I'm praying for those that just want to see God continue to do these amazing things in people's lives. And maybe you're here this morning, you're just saying, God, I want an opportunity. Show me where I can be a part of that and where I fit in. Going to show you this morning, all of us can receive from the Lord something that we need in our lives. Father, I thank You for Your goodness, and I pray, Lord Jesus, for each and every one, whether they're here this morning being honest with You and they're reconciling with You, whether they're reconciling in a relationship, or whether they're just hungry, Lord God, to be about Your business, I pray that You would just show each and every one, lead us in the ways that You want us to go, and You would get on, Lord. We're thankful, Lord God, for what You're doing and have been doing in people's lives. I pray that the lives that You've ministered to in the last several weeks, that the devil not steal what You've given them, but Lord God, that they would grow in Christ, that they would get around those that are of like-minded faith, and Lord God, that they would get grounded in the things of God. And I pray that You put a hedge of protection around them as they do it. May we be a church in unity. May we be a church moving forward in what You have for us. We're going to give You honor and praise and glory for that. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.
Let's stand for the ones in hymn number 242. Jesus, for you. Number 242.
Thank you.
forgives all our sin, takes away all our iniquities, allows us to leave this place a new creation. Father, I thank you for that. I love you. Be with us, Lord. Be with us in this place. Minister to those around us, both inside these walls and outside. Help us to be your servants. I ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
Thank you.